What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, December 12th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller,
Nick,
alongside the busiest lady in business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Hold on. A lot of things. PlayStation Experience was really good.
Subdued intro today.
Well, the voice doesn't have the upper octaves. PlayStation Experience happened. It was a lot of fun.
I had a lot of cocktails at Polite Provisions
last
night.
It wasn't the cocktails. Over here, I was running out the panel today for the first time ever, a three-person Kind of Funny Games Daily. Victor Lucas from Electric Playground.
Thank you for having me.
All the people that we could get to co-host Games Daily with us, probably one of the most knowledgeable in this industry. So 100%. This is a treat.
Building me up very well. Thank you very much.
We
this is
you,
amazing.
Vic. No,
this
thank
is,
you. I'm
this
glad
is
made it work.
A real treat to be here. You guys have been kicking butt all year long. And,
hey, thanks.
And it's I'm fans of all of you guys here, so this is really cool. Thanks for having me.
No, please, a pleasure. If people don't know you,
yeah,
I always say you're the biggest thing in Canadian video games. You're up there. You're the IGN. You're the institution.
Yeah, we started in 95 as an online thing, and then 97 we hit television and did 20 years of television programming. And KBHK was our channel here in San Francisco, and
yeah,
when we launched in our first season and got some great ratings from... from that, and then we were on G4 for a long ass time, and but we've been doing this forever.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Now you're up on YouTube.
Now the YouTube. Yeah, I embraced it big time this year. I said, you know what? I love what I do. I you know, we can still do our brand of you know covering the industry the way that we've always been able to do it, and we've got all of these distribution mechanisms and platforms. So we've been learning a lot and just making new stuff every day and releasing a lot of our classic stuff and growing and having fun more than anything, which is
that's
really
awesome.
Important, as you guys know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fun's a big part of what we do, isn't it, Andrea?
It is, but I would be having more fun, Greg, if you had told me you were wearing your PSX sweater.
You should have known.
I would have brought mine.
Known.
We could have matched.
It's the final week of Kind of Funny Games Daily for the year 2017.
Did you buy this down there?
Oh, hell yeah. Did you kidding me?
I dropped way too much money there.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yes.
This is your final show for the year, Andrea.
It is.
Yeah, you ship off to New Orleans soon enough for a wedding. I want to set the record straight here, right? A lot of people have been trying to tell me, "Oh, you drank too much during Game Awards PSX. Oh, you yelled too much during the voice was on the fritz going down.
Right,
I had a sore throat.
Right,
then Game Awards when we drank till like 2:30 in the morning. That wasn't a good decision.
Yes,
but it wasn't
happened.
The drinking as
late
much as
night
it was
taco truck. Good decision. Though.
That was a great decision. That was a great decision. But it was the screaming over people that really got me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for all of your support at Game Awards PSX and then yesterday at the Polite Provisions meet and greet in San Diego.
Way to go, Greg.
Yeah,
you
killing
really,
it.
You killed it this weekend.
You did a great
awesome.
Job at the showcase
thank
Friday
you so
night.
Yeah.
I really
you.
Enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, you killed it at Game Awards, Andrea.
Well, you know. Just me and Guillermo
hanging
out backstage. Photobombing Kojima. You know, it happens.
Did awesome. I get posted? I haven't seen it.
It was on Kojima's personal camera, so okay. I have no idea where that photo is.
Tadeo,
so
come
rad.
On. Do
that's
it. What do you have to ask? But thank you to all the best friends who came out and supported us everywhere. It was awesome to see so many people come out to the Game Awards and shout us out and yell at us there. Of course, all the thousands of you that voted for Andrea, thank you so much.
Very cool.
Thank you to everybody who came to the panels, the signing, the Portillo's meet and greet, which was insane because I've never had the Portillo's that full.
So we had a trending gamer 2015,
yeah,
and then almost trending gamer 2017
but
and
2018.
Or
we're gonna get her in 2018. We're gonna get her in 2018.
Cool.
The campaign begins.
We'll
anyway.
See.
I was trending gamer in 96, I think, is when I was. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a good family,
nice.
Right? It's a good family. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but you all have been amazing. Thank you. Sorry, my voice is a little on the first one. I don't know. Today we're brought to you by Lisa.com and Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about that later because remember, you still need to order Christmas gifts. It's still coming or whatever holiday you're celebrating. But for now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Number one, not on the Roper Report sidebar. Kevin, put up the Kev cam. Are you wearing this Christmas sweater from here on out for the rest of the week?
Ooh, that'll stink.
You can't see the best part of it. The microphone's covering it. There you
go.
There
look
you
at
go.
That.
You guys, for everyone listening out
lovely.
There, Kevin is wearing the Santar.
Santor.
It is Santor. It is a Santa who has ripply abs wearing his, you know, hat with his beard. Mm-hmm, and then he's got a horse body.
So is that your plan the rest of the week?
No, I mean, I've been changing up, but like everything's been.
He has several Christmas
themes, with the exception of yesterday.
Number two, is Cool Greg in the premises?
It doesn't seem like it.
Be careful. There's a giant spider over here, and we'll lose him. He will
oh my
quit.
Gosh.
You want me to kill it?
Oh my gosh, it's close
oh
to me.
God, look at that
It's not
thing.
That close. It's Whoa. Not that close.
Kevin,
that is
kill
for
it,
real.
Kevin.
It's right there.
It's up right there.
Up there.
Kevin, we need a
Holy
nip.
Shit,
We need, right. It's not that.
We need a name key for that spider, please.
Rip off a piece of the thing.
On it. Don't worry. We're getting too into the eggnog over here.
You know what
here.
Happens is when you take your eye off of it, it disappears.
I mean, I feel like it's dead because it hasn't done anything the whole entire time.
It's watching the show.
We're
very entertaining.
In front of a live studio audience.
I need a tissue or something.
Can you just grab that spider?
Joey's just wandering into the spider now.
Can you just grab that?
Yeah, Kevin got it.
It bit Kevin. It got Kevin. It got him good.
All right.
All right.
You didn't kill it though, right, Kevin? In case Peter's watching.
He just scooped it up very gently.
Murdered it. Okay.
He definitely killed that spider.
Number one on the Roper Report. No, there's three.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you. Number one on the Roper Report.
Just like CNN.
I feel like
Anderson Cooper right
when
now.
We started it, I was very clear of like, you know, it's going to be not a serious show,
right.
But we're not going to have the regular interruptions and the lunch conversations, and we've been good for it. But here as the year has gotten closer and I started wearing the Santa hat every day in December.
The rum is flowing.
Oh, the rum is flowing.
Did you guys get rum?
Never ending holiday party around here. Number one. We discussed this on Kind of Funny Games Cast. We've discussed it on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Mm. But Bungie is, of course, walking back the things they screwed up with Curse of Osiris. Let me read you a whole bunch from their blog here before we discuss it.
No.
With Curse of Osiris now live, it's clear that we've made some mistakes with how we have handled content access. We would like to talk through the reasoning behind our decisions so far and what we are committed to changing moving forward. The following were our goals when we separated normal and prestige modes. The normal, Leviathan Raid, and normal Nightfall would always stay at a power level that was accessible to all players. Prestige difficulty would always rise to the new power cap. It could be the pinnacle of challenge, with the most prestigious rewards, but it therefore would require you to own the latest expansion and be at the new power level cap. Moving on. We've heard from the community that both of these plans aren't working. The prestige raid was a novel experience that players value, even if they don't own Curse of Osiris, and it was a mistake to move that experience out of reach. Throughout the lifetime of the Destiny franchise, Trials has always required that players own the latest expansion. However, for Destiny 2, Trials of the Nine launched as part of the main game, so it's not right for us to remove access to it. To make matters worse, and this is where it gets down to Kind of Funny Games Daily territory, our team overlooked the fact that both these mistakes disabled trophies and achievements for Destiny 2.
Ouch.
This was an unacceptable lapse on our part, and we can understand the frustration it has created. So here's the changes they're making, and this is obviously a bridge, so there's a much more
expansive
version.
So that disables all of the achievements and all of the trophies?
No, just the one where you had, there was one trophy where you had to complete either the Nightfall or the raid on prestige difficulty, but in order to get the platinum, you had to complete that trophy, so it disabled two trophies or two achievements.
Okay. Yeah, and I think according to what they've said here, because I didn't even pick it up originally, I guess Trials was affected too, because Trials, there's the less you be judged or whatever trophy as
oh,
well.
Oh, yes, that as well.
To make matters worse, the Prestige, these are the changes then. The Prestige Leviathan Raid will be brought back down to power level 300, and its rewards will be dropped down to match the new power level. All players will regain access to the Prestige Raid. Trials of the Nine will only require Curse of Osiris when it features a Curse of Osiris map. For all other weeks, it will be available to all players. Parentheses. This will allow access to the Less Ye Be Judged achievement trophy for all players. The Prestige Nightfall will remain a pinnacle activity at the new 330 power cap. Parentheses. Because of this, we will update the Prestige achievement / trophy to only reference the Prestige Raid. And as I said, there's much more and more detail over on BungieNet, but to boil it down top level for what we've talked about here, that's it. But boy, howdy, Vic, they can't catch a break.
That's not it. But go ahead, Vic, continue.
Tweet. Impossible to try to keep these things running forever. I mean, that seems to be the snafu that all of these companies are running into. It's very hard to keep these things as live games that will keep you coming back forever and ever and ever. And it feels like, you know, The Division has had issues. There's been problems with For Honor. It just feels like all of these publishers, in their quest to keep their players contained and entertained forever, they hit these familiar stumbling patterns. And it's unfortunate because they're working their ass off to build great games, but keeping these end game players satisfied is incredibly difficult.
And that's the thing, is I think that the end game players, the people who are playing week to week, month to month, expansion to expansion, are always in such a different part than the folks who come back. Because The Division just put out that free update, that their latest big patch, a whole bunch of new PvE, PvP stuff.
Yeah.
And as somebody who's still subscribed to The Division subreddit, it's night and day between Destiny, because the Division subreddit is, man, this game is great now. Thank you for sticking with it and making all this content, blah, blah, blah. But as somebody who's been there since the Division launched, for the longest time, it's been more like this, of like, this update fucking sucks. Where is this? Why aren't the developers talking? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But you eventually get to a point where somebody who's taken months, if not a year off, and come back to see where the game is now, it looks night and day different. Whereas with Destiny, I feel like we're still so close to launch, so close in the minutia of what it looks like week to week, it's different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the original Destiny followed a very similar path where they released, you know, The Dark Below, and there was a lot of, I think, a letdown in the content that was there, but they didn't siphon the audience the way that they did in Destiny 2. And if you played Destiny, you know, like in May of this year, it was a completely different game than it was at launch, which, I mean, of course it would be. It's more than two years later. Now, the problems they've been having with Destiny 2 are things that
they should know better.
Right. At this point, we're 3 years plus into the development of this game, arguably 5 years, maybe 6 years plus into the development. Like, how did they not, like, see this coming?
Yeah.
And the other thing that they tweeted in regards to some changes was about the special weapon,
the
Prometheus lens. So I tweeted about this yesterday. So there was an exotic gun, an energy weapon that was available to purchase from Xur over the weekend that you could buy with legendary shards.
And to dial that back, remember, the problem was that Curse of Osiris introduces this gun. It breaks everything. So the people who have it have a super unfair advantage in PvP.
Right.
So Destiny, or I'm sorry, Bungie's like, we know we fucked up. Until we patch it, we're going to put it with Xur this week where it's broken for everyone. Everyone has the crazy gun.
Right, so everybody could go buy it. So they tweeted, as Laser Tag Weekend comes to a close, we're making good on our promise to address the fact that the Prometheus lens is way too powerful. Sure, it's fun, but it breaks the crucible for anyone who wants to use a different weapon. Given the short window we had to make an emergency fix, it will be adjusted to be way too weak. In January, this new exotic will receive a proper play-tested design pass. Now, that last bit makes me kinda angry. When you say a proper playtested design pass, why on earth are you releasing a piece of digital in-game content that people pay for that hasn't already been properly playtested?
That's what everybody's doing. Everybody's doing that. Battlefront's doing that. Everybody is in this kind of loop right now. And like, who has kept a consistency with their community? Has it been the Warcraft team, the World of Warcraft team? Has it been Blizzard? Are they the only ones with the Overwatch and stuff? Like, who has been
right there talking to their people?
Yeah, and delivering stuff that's polished and fair and tuned, and people aren't completely miserable, that are at the center of the hardcore fan, you know, base?
It's a good question. I think it's obvious that it's difficult to tune it properly until you get it out to the entire player base, which is why we're seeing more games start in early access and continue to have these long beta periods.
Yeah.
So they can kind of get away with the idea like, well, we're still in beta. We need you guys to help us tune and play test. However, this expansion was not free. At least Battlefront has come forward and said, hey, we're going to keep, you know, the content free. I mean, obviously, you know, they're dinging you with microtransactions on the other side. But I mean, they were like, we don't want to split our audience, split our servers. We want everyone to be able to play together. And so to do that, we're going to make it free. But Bungie has not done that. You know, they've have specific maps, specific guns. And then obviously, you know, the high level prestige content that's like, you have to have the DLC. Now, there's an argument to be made that I've seen people make online and in the Destiny Reddit with like, hey, if you're going to play this game, you probably are going to buy the DLC anyway. Like, you can't continue to play this game, be part of the community, and not keep helping and not want to buy this content. And I think that there's merit to that argument. However, the reason why they're once again in hot water is because they had something baked into the original $60 price point that they then took away.
Yeah, the problem here is the fact that people had access to this content and then had it removed from them.
Yeah.
And like, I understand you're a million people working on this game, a whole bunch of things are happening. I don't know how you're so tone deaf to the conversation at this moment that you couldn't see that would be a huge red flag.
I just can't. I mean, even talking about it gives me a headache, and we're not in the game. We're not looking at the loot or the mechanics. Like, I can't keep up with all of these names and currencies and these moving things, and I can't imagine what it's like to basically steer a train that's just barreling at like 1,000 miles an hour.
You've got a guy in front of it laying tracks as you go.
Yeah. You know what, though, Vic? You know who has a lot of money to buy the best conductor that video games can buy? Activision. Yeah. They sure have a fuck ton of money. Yeah. Yeah. So like, I tend to want to not give them a pass as
much. For sure.
For the same reason I didn't give Epic Games a pass when the Fortnite launch was borked with their servers, right? It's like, who has the money to make sure that they have enough servers to accommodate player load?
Yep.
Epic Games does.
Right.
Who has enough money to make sure that they have enough people in the QA department play testing a gun like the Prometheus lens? Activision does.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's tough to give them a pass. That being said, I was playing last night and having a great time in the content.
Yeah.
But
I did get to the end of it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Destiny. And it's just like...
Well, wait, did you play it in reverse, though, afterwards?
No, I didn't. I am going to, you know, obviously play with my other characters. But I jumped into Crucible, and that's when I tweeted last night that it made it unplayable for me. And I had almost a 50-50 mixed bag of responses from people being like, I loved the laser tag.
Yeah.
And other people being like, it sucked. It was terrible.
Well, I think my problem with it was the fact that, I thought the Xur solution was a funny one. I'm like, yep, this is fucked up right now. We realize it's fucked up, so everyone can get their hands on this gun and just be done with it. But we were at PSX, and I didn't bring my PlayStation 4. And I was like, fuck, I can't even log in to get the damn thing.
You can. You should be able to log in. I logged in and bought it yesterday.
Oh, well, when's Xur reset? Reset today, Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right?
Oh, yeah, he probably
I just landed the
dead
today, Andrea. Yeah. Cut me some slack. God damn it.
You could have had one of these guys log you in.
If I did that, Kevin would just delete it and put peanut butter and jelly all over it. GameX173 writes
like
in.
Like your son, I guess, in a way. Right?
Exactly. Writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can to be part of the show. Remember, every day, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, later on podcast services around the globe. That's right, I didn't do an intro today because it's just such a fun show in the room. Hey, Kinda Funny crew. I just listened to Gamescast, and your talk on Destiny 2 and some of its recent problems got me thinking. Do game companies really care about their mistakes? And if we want to put out our tinfoil hats, is there a chance they make these mistakes on purpose? For example, in Destiny 2, there is some new overpowered gun. When the gun came out, people were flocking to it. This means paying for it with in-game currency or real money. Yes, they said they will patch it to fix it. But if you want to be competitive for the week or two before the patch, you have to fork over the money. So, is there a chance they made this mistake on purpose? I don't think in this instance, no.
No, you can't. I don't think you can't buy this gun with real money. It's with legendary shards that you get by breaking down legendary items that you earn in the game. I guess technically, if you want to buy bright engrams to get legendaries it's easier to just grind out doing the strike playlist. That's the best way to get legendary drops. So like, I mean, you'd have a hard time convincing me that's a valid argument for this particular case.
There is definitely some psychological testing that is happening on the fly with gamers and their purchasing habits with these evergreen games or these never-ending
games.
We are testers now as much. I mean, like, they're opening the game, you turn on the game, but the store opens at the same time, right?
Yep.
And you're also being sort of analyzed, and your head is being examined the whole time you're playing this game. So it's probably not as nefarious as your community member is making it sound. But games have always been like that. I mean, games in the quarter-munching days were really programmed to get you to pull that next quarter out and keep going. You know, it's just now they can see when you pull the quarter out.
And I
they can hear it going
into the slot. GameX173's point, right? I don't think this was one of those situations, but I definitely know from talking to developers, right, that they ship games with problems they plan to patch later, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that means that when the community gets riled up about it, they already know how to respond or what they want to respond with. It's similar to when Anthony Gallegos was on, who's back tomorrow, by the way, when he was on right after he got laid off by Marvel Heroes and Gazillion, he was talking about the fact of, like, you know, they would do stuff where, say they buff something when they didn't buff it just because they were like, this is how it should play, but somebody doesn't believe that. So they just to say that and people would be like, oh, you're right, it's way better. And it would be that there's the real haptic feedback they're getting in terms of, does this work? Does this not work? But I would imagine it's all the spin you put on it of like, all right, we're shipping the game this way. This is not going to be well received, but when it isn't, we'll say this because we know we're working on that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting era that we're in with games
Get up on that mic. Kevin's going to yell at me eventually.
Okay, it's an interesting era because we are getting a lot of games that aren't completely finished. We're getting a lot of games that don't really have real endings. And it feels like every game is fighting to keep you there forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so people are like making It's like the console war has drifted into actual software at this point. You know, like you're sticking with one piece of one shooter for the year, and that's the only thing that you're going to play. People.
It's an interesting way to look at it. I never thought about it that way before. There's a lot of consoles out there then.
Well, yeah. I mean, not now, honestly, it's just a war for your time. It's more than ever where it is. Yeah. People are like, oh man, did you watch the crossover Flash Supergirl Earth X stuff? And I'm like, you know, I got 20 minutes into one episode, got distracted, and I played games the rest of the night. And it's like, you can't do everything.
You can't be playing Overwatch while you're playing Destiny 2.
You can't, yeah.
Right?
No.
And if you're pissed off when you're at the end game of Destiny 2 and you're not getting the guns aren't fair and you're not getting your achievements, you're pissed off that you weren't playing Overwatch.
Exactly. Right.
Right.
Yeah. True. Number two.
Either way, Activision wins.
They always win in the end. Number two, Nintendo Switch has sold 10 million units to date. This is a Variety article.
Hey, round of applause.
Yay, good job, Nintendo.
Who would have thought that, right?
I know. Yeah. It was a rocky road to get there. I'm like, oh, we'll see how this is. Their last gasp.
When I saw all that stuff, I was like, who's going to carry around all those things and take things off? And, you know, because we've had that stuff with mobile phones for a long time. But damn if it ain't great.
Yeah. If we're not all taking it off and doing this and playing on planes and doing all these different things. It was an interview there with Reggie that Variety had. The 10 million unit, obviously amazing. But here's an interesting thing they throw out there. The lineup of Nintendo published games also has fueling Switch sales, Reggie said. Three titles have been purchased by more than 50% of Switch owners. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which won Game of the Year at the 2017 Game Awards. Yep. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Super Mario Odyssey. Another title, third-person shooter Splatoon 2, has been purchased by 1 in 4 Switch owners, he said. Then it's a quote from Reggie. Typically, if you have a title where 1 out of 5 owners have bought the game that strong, that helps drive sell-through of the console. Mm. What a crazy year 2017's been for Nintendo.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they've been the antidote to all of these games that never end, right? They've been a kind of a reconnection to what people remember about video games.
Sure.
And I think it's brought a lot of people back. A lot of parents are buying that. I'm sure you guys are getting texts from, you know, moms and dads out there that are buying Switches for the holidays and what games should they buy and stuff.
Yeah, well, I got the text from my friends back in Missouri who bought their son's Switches.
Yeah.
Holy crap, this stuff's expensive.
I know.
Because they were buying Joy-Cons and controllers and games and cases. And like, I'm like,
one could maybe argue a little overpriced.
Yeah. Definitely overpriced. When you see those prices in the eShop or any of the stores and they're like over $100 and it's ridiculous. It's crazy. And I guess some of the the costs are defrayed when you're thinking that you're never going to stop playing the game, right? You can kind of say you're buying into seasons of content out there. But the games are really expensive.
Yeah.
And it's a little nuts, right? Because I feel like as amazing as this, as these sales numbers are for the video game industry, we all know, and everybody watching this knows, that video games are the best entertainment that humans have ever created, and more people should play them and talk about them.
Definitively.
Right? But we don't have everybody playing them and talking about them because of things like $120 to get a full game now.
Yeah.
You know, like it's
let alone
crazy.
Like, oh, well, this new Xbox One X does 4K and all this. I don't know what that means. I don't, does my TV do that? Like,
would you like me to show you?
Yeah.
Come to my house, Greg.
No,
I will show you.
I know what that means.
I will show
it's
you
pretty.
What
it's very pretty. I meant the people out there. They want, they want comfort food of nostalgia of this is a Mario game and this is thing. And I put it and I play it and it's done.
I think they probably could have sold 10 million of the Super Nintendo Classic if they made enough of them, right?
It's true.
That could have been the other sales figure for Nintendo that we'd all be talking about today.
It's true. I remember doing Jeff's show, GTTV, at pre-E3, like I think either 2012 or 2013. And we were talking about Nintendo because this was like, I think right when Wii U was happening. And he was like, well, you know, what do you think Nintendo has to do to like win E3? And I was like, they need to just bring all their first party. And that's what they did this year. Look at, they're winning. Like they're doing great. I mean, obviously PlayStation just announced that they're over 70 million, but they have had a couple of years on Nintendo, obviously. But they're having a great year because they released the franchises people know and people love, and that they're two full titles with the console all released in the same year. They haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
They've also, I think, taken a bit of the space that mobile has left for them. I mean, we don't talk about mobile games anymore, I notice, in our community that much. You know, there are people that specialize in it, but I have really cut back on the amount of mobile games that I play. Like, I played Pokemon Go and I'm looking forward to the Nintendo stuff, so they're actually in that category.
You playing that Pocket Camp?
A little bit, a little bit.
We got to exchange friend codes here.
Yeah.
Andrea's a hater. She refuses.
I'm not a hater.
It snowed. Do you understand that?
I'm indifferent.
It snowed over the weekend.
I just, like, am agnostic, I guess.
Let me ask you if
and
I...
And
let
the
let
Switch
tell you
snuck in there, right? Because now that's taking time and mind share away from a lot of the old mobile players out there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it also, and I know this sounds stupid, but stick with me, is that the Vita has a lot of goodwill with gamers, right? In terms of like, oh, we loved our Vita, it just got abandoned. And now that the Switch is there and it's like, hey, we're Nintendo and we're committed to the vision of the Vita. And it's like literally all our games have to be on it, so you know we can't abandon it. And it's like, well, yeah, this is awesome. This is what I want. And to go to PSX and...
You're playing your Switch the whole way down.
I played it the whole way down, and then it, like,
it's
my autograph signing.
I brought this that
I signed so many. I signed so many Vitas, but I signed a ton of Switches too at PSX, which is weird. And like you pass, and people are playing cart in line, waiting to go play Inpatient or whatever.
Do you think numbers like this say to Sony and Microsoft that they got to get into this space?
No.
After having talked with leadership at both of those camps, no. I think Microsoft has always kind of stood firmly in that we are not doing handhelds. I mean, I interviewed Phil Spencer about that several years ago.
Sure. Yeah.
And they clearly are just not going to go that route. And I think Sony's like, we tried it. We did it. We had a great time with like PSP and Vita and things like that. But it's clear that they see the rise of mobile and how people are shifting. I mean, the reason why Switch, I think, is so popular is because not only is it a mobile device, but you can use it as a standalone console at your house.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Like, dock it while you're there.
Well,
and
it's
it works.
The fact, like I was hinting at, is just that Nintendo's committed to it. You know, PlayStation and Microsoft look at this and I'm sure, oh man, that's awesome. We wish, you know, Vita would have sold like that, or oh man, if we'd done that. But until you jump in and you're like, no, this is all we are, it's not going to happen. And like, granted, there's still a Nintendo 3DS, but...
This was really their last time
exactly.
to knock it out of the park with a console. If this didn't work, that would probably be the writing on the wall.
The way of Sega, right? And we'd be getting all these games on everything else.
But it has worked so well. I mean, I think the bigger story around this number is that they only sold 13 million Wii U's in its whole sort of run-up,
in
its whole lifespan. So they've almost eclipsed it already, which is incredible. So I don't know how the rest of the industry can't look at that and say, the specific game industry can't see that a hybrid machine could do really well for PlayStation and really well for Xbox.
I just feel like for PlayStation and Xbox, it would be changing your entire thrust that's been successful so far, right? PlayStation's runaway success. Xbox has done great, but it just didn't do PlayStation numbers. So everybody's like, oh man, they're losing this generation. I'm sure they're happy with what they're doing. Yeah. They could always do more.
Yeah.
But it's the fact of... How could you make a hybrid system and not sacrifice the 4K visuals and all the things you want?
Clearly, people don't care about that, right? Clearly, they're proving it with the amount of Switches that are selling.
Well, I mean, but the people do care.
We don't have those Xbox One X Black Friday numbers yet.
True.
People could care about 4K.
Yeah, I mean, people
they care about the experiences they're getting on their TV, I think.
Yeah,
they care about like graphic horses.
They will also accept a less than 4K experience if they can take it anywhere with them.
Of course, look at the 3DS.
Yes, right?
Sure. But I think, you have to have the magic of Nintendo, right? If you were to put out Last of Us Part 2 and it was like dialed
down. If you could carry a Switch that played all your PS4 games everywhere.
In a heartbeat.
Right?
Yeah. But with the power of the Vita, everything's... No, I'm kidding.
But, it was an amazing platform, but they didn't really capitalize on it. They
didn't
really get to there. They didn't give you enough buttons. They didn't really make it that same console experience.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they did, it would be... It would be a very interesting new race, I think, if they went that way.
Interesting.
But they are... I mean, they've got a lot of hardware to get out in a bunch of different ways already.
Cole writes in
to
kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's good, Kinda Funny crew? And what I was referencing earlier is a lot of kids at the meet and greets were like, yeah, it's great. And I love it when Andrea says what's good. But you always say not much, as if she's saying what's up. And I'm like, oh, that's a good point. Lots of things are good in my life. I probably shouldn't say nothing. Nothing. Now back to Cole. Now that the Switch has sold 10 million units worldwide, how do you see the Switch in the years past 2018? They already told us about the hard hitters for next year, but what do you think in the years to follow? Thank you for all that you do and keep up the great work. Andrew, you hit the nail on the head, right? They had the two Nintendo franchises out in year one, so obviously that's going to drive units and sales. What happens next year? What happens in 2019? Can they keep this up?
No, I don't think they can. I think the only thing coming on the horizon that really will probably drive more hardware sales for them is the Pokemon title for Switch. Mm. Not like a adaptation of the 3DS titles, but like the standalone Pokemon RPG coming. I think there's a lot of people that are specifically excited for that game, and I think that'll do wonders. But I just, they kind of got the big dogs out this year, and they'll continue to sell through next year off of Zelda and Mario for sure. But it's definitely, we're going to see a dramatic taper, I believe.
You figure the next giant one would have to be Smash?
Smash Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Smash is popular in a specific community, but when you think about Nintendo owners at large, I don't know if Smash is the game for most Nintendo owners.
Except that they are also paying attention to all of these games that never end. They're offering it with their games. I'm sure there's more Mario coming, and I'm sure that there's more Zelda coming, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get sort of sequels around the engines on the Switch. I think they're still in that boat of, this is it. This is our opportunity. This is the open door. And the more space that the other console manufacturers give them to be the only sort of hybrid solution in the console space, they're going to push money in every direction that they can with this. I think Metroid's going to be cool, and we'll probably see a Star Fox game, and hopefully some more surprises like ARMS and Splatoon, you know?
Yeah, see them invest in new IP and get new things out there. Yeah. All that said, I agree with you. I just wonder what 2018, what 2019 look like, because you're never going to have these tentpole games again, I feel. And maybe I'd love to be wrong, because it's been such an amazing year of Zelda and Kart and then ARMS, which is, you know, what we're going
to. I think we'll definitely get another Mario title before the end of the life cycle for Switch, for sure. But I don't think a Zelda like this is going to come around again before the Switch.
I think they'll add to the world.
Is done.
I think they'll
DLC. Yeah. I mean, they spent so much time building it, it would be silly not
ashamed
to.
Yeah, exactly. With that world, you could put so many things in there.
But I think the other part of the equation here, and this is more of an ask of the development community, is the sales on the Switch comparative to the sales of their exact same game on other platforms. Mm. And I think there are a lot of good stories coming out of that. I think people are attaching software to the Switch like crazy and experimenting with stuff, you know, like Shovel Knight and things like that.
The amount of indies you've written.
Interesting story about this. So I, of course, you know, we've talked on this show about how there's a lot of indies, you know, they're talking about, and maybe of the third party that are seeing good attach on the Switch. So I talked to some people that I know that represent indie developers and asked them, like, why aren't some of your titles why aren't you guys porting them to Switch? And, you know, I was like, aren't you seeing the news stories about all these other people having success there? And they're like, funny you should ask that. Here's the problem and why you're not seeing more titles on Switch. And I was like, okay, give me the goods.
What's the deal?
Is it that Nintendo's a jerk?
No, it's that Nintendo doesn't have the infrastructure to onboard partners the same way that Xbox and PlayStation do.
Right.
So because of that, because there's no direct pipeline, like Sony has a partnership publishing team, Xbox has a partnership publishing team. So if I make a game, I can reach out to that team and say, hey, I want to help publishing my game on your platform. And they have people that will shepherd you through that process.
And they'll promote it.
And right now, Nintendo does not have that pipeline the same way that the other platforms do. Because of that, it makes it inherently more difficult for these developers to publish on Nintendo's platform without some like really major handholding is what the message that I got from the developers that I spoke with.
Gotcha.
Next year's going to be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because now they're thanking the community with this announcement. They've got sales that really kind of jettison them into another level of game publishing. And it's really incumbent on them to not let this momentum be squandered. And they've got to work out relationships like this with the development community. And they need to absolutely get third party, you know, rocking on this machine.
Right.
You know, the Bayonetta announcement was pretty solid.
Such a big movement this year, where it was, you know, what we always thought the Vita would be, where it was like we had these great games, these big AAA games that you wanted, and then there were the smaller games to keep you going, and getting Rocket League on there, getting Stardew Valley on there, getting games that made sense on there. You figure you have to keep those relationships going, but then, you have to turn to every other third party and be like, cool, Bethesda's doing it.
Yeah.
Like what? I don't know what numbers they're going to see, but hey, like, you know, there is Wolfenstein 2 coming. Doom's already on it. Yep. What can we do with your game that we want to get out?
Yeah, you can't just brag about the sell-through and your own personal software doing well, which we could all kind of expect.
Mario game sold weird.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can this year. I mean, they're allowed to, you know, take their victory lap for sure, but, I mean, his question specifically was 2018 and beyond, so I'd say this year was a pinnacle highlight for them with this console, and I firmly believe that I don't think they're going to be able to replicate the success that they had this year because they just don't have as many, you know, high-profile titles.
Mario Golf would solve it all, just saying. Toadstool Tour 2.
Listen, there really isn't another. Bring it back.
There isn't another Nintendo brand, though, that's not that big, is there? I mean, they're really, like, none of them are that.
Nope.
Donkey Kong, I guess.
I've said I hate that ape.
I hate that
guy. He's never done anything for me. Number three. A new Harry Potter RPG is coming to mobile. This is via IGN. Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, a narrative role-playing game, has been announced for release on mobile devices. Developed by Jam City and published under Warner Brothers' new Harry Potter label Portkey, the game will allow players to create a character and play through multiple years studying at the eternally unsafe school of witchcraft and wizardry. Quote, along the way, players will participate in all of the magical classes and activities they have come to love, reads a press release, like Defense Against the Dark Arts, Potions, Dueling Club, and more. Most of the iconic professors from the Harry Potter stories reprise their roles in this game, end quote. It's not clear what the precise style of the game will be, nor how you interact with those classes. The subtitle, Hogwarts Mystery, also implies an underlying storyline, but no details have been given about that. No release date has been given for the game either.
Niantic has learned a lot, so I'm expecting that this is going to be pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
They keep talking about these Harry Potter mobile games, AR things they want to do. It's like, all right.
Have you guys been to the Harry Potter world at Universal?
I have not. It's kind of killing me a little bit.
Holy shit, it's amazing.
That's what I hear.
And I'm not even a Harry Potter guy. Like, that stuff was a little too young for me as it was coming out, and it was like, lots of kids looking up and being amazed by magic.
Did Cool Greg ever come back, Kevin? All right, so this is, you're in the cone of trust, listener/viewer at Kind of Funny Games Daily. Since I've known Cool Greg's the biggest Harry Potter fan I've ever met.
Love okay.
What? I didn't know
he's
this.
Such a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
He won't read the last book because he doesn't want it to end. He keeps going back and reading.
No, stop it. No, no, that's okay. We're gonna have to have words.
Well, now, but Cisco might be able to get him into the Broadway premiere of The Cursed Child, at which point he has to read the final book.
No, he has to read the book way before that.
I know he's going to.
Cool Greg, not mad at you.
You're a big fan. You haven't been to this Harry Potter.
But no, here's where it comes together.
Okay.
Is that the plan one day we're going to do is we're going to say, all right, Cool Greg, we got to go to Anaheim for some bullshit convention or whatever the hell it is, right? And we're going to tell him we need him help, right? But then we're all going to run into his hotel room with the camera on and be like, we're not doing that. We're going to Harry Potter World.
Oh, my God.
And I've told Tim and Kevin a million times, it doesn't have to be company money. I want this kid getting every wand he wants, every robe he wants. If they're selling owls, we're buying them a real owl. You know what I mean?
We bought my kid one of those wands, too.
Yeah?
And you can actually stand at the windows in some of the shops and you can interact with things.
So Angie, you're coming with us if we do this.
I only have a chocolate wand that John Drake brought me.
I have a really
I haven't
so he's
eaten
been
it.
But you haven't been?
Yeah, he went on a company trip.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's amazing. And so now this game, I think, is going to tap right into that. I think this is really, really smart.
It'll be interesting with this. The RPG, this is different than the one they announced earlier, right? That they are doing an augmented reality one from Portkey as well.
Oh, is this different?
Yeah.
Oh,
this
I'm
is
sorry.
Another one. No, you're fine. But okay. I mean, that, I think beyond that, it's like, okay, that's interesting and it's mobile, which is weird for this one to be mobile.
That's weird.
I'd much rather do that. Let's totally give me a PS4 or Switch RPG that I can take on and be in the Harry Potter world forever. That's great. But the augmented reality one, I'm interested to see what they end up with that.
So this is coming to mobile
as well,
but it's not the Niantic.
Another mobile game. Yeah, this is Jam City.
Okay, I guess they got to keep. They announced that they're making the Cursed Child right as a feature. They're bringing the.
Oh, did
the
they announce that
cast.
Finally?
I think that was announced. Might have been just a rumor.
I think that's a rumor. I think that's the rumor still because that would be huge.
Yeah,
I'd be all over that.
Yeah, and then they've got more with
Fantastic Beasts. Fantastic Beasts.
I like that first one.
I enjoyed it, but it didn't stick with me the way like I thought Harry Potter's had before. You know what I mean?
So you're a big Harry Potter guy too?
No, not a big one. I like the movies a lot.
Yeah.
Don't read the books. Nick Scarpino, another huge Harry Potter guy. He went to London, paid through the nose to go to the Cursed Child thing.
That's you should.
Cool. Yeah. Have you gone to it?
No, but I've read the book.
I can hit up Cisco for you too and see if he can get you into this show.
Listen, we should all just make it a company trip. Let's just go. Kind of funny at Harry
meet
Potter.
You guys there.
Yeah.
So you're are you looking forward to the Niantic one then or the app? You're not a big mobile player, right?
No, here's the thing.
Did you get burned on Pokemon Go?
I didn't get burned.
She spends a lot of money on
I had no, I had just fun. I had fun with Pokemon Go. I would definitely play the Harry Potter version of Pokemon Go far more than I played Pokemon because yeah. I'm not a Pokemon player.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I just, for me, if I'm going to dedicate time to a game, mobile is not the experiences that I want. I prefer my console.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Hey, Nick. You going to play these Harry Potter mobile games when they come out? Remember, they can't hear you to come talk in my microphone and rub
me.
I
didn't know how to play them already.
They're not. They're literally no footage has been shown on them, and they don't exist yet.
A special relationship with one J.K. Rowling.
Do you?
He's playing right now. What?
Do you have?
No,
him?
I don't. No. If I okay. did, that would be amazing.
All right, cool.
That would be amazing. Right. She's my god, and I pray to her every night.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, okay. Well, thanks, Nick. That was
creepy.
A weird way to.
Who was that guy?
He's just.
I know, right? Weird. Smells good.
He haunts the place.
Who was that
Nick,
guy that just
can
came
I have more coffee? Can I have more coffee and water? How about that? Put you to work. You know what, man? I'm trying to keep the vocal cords wet.
Do you have some right. Amuse Bouche?
As I told you, the closer we get to Christmas, the more off the rails
cheese
it goes.
Plate.
Vic. Victor. Lucas.
Yes, I have to say something.
Don't spoil it. I'm
okay.
excited
okay.
for Harry Potter on yes. these mobile games. Can't okay. wait to see how they turn out, but they're still so far away. Yeah. If I wanted to know what yeah. came to the mom and grop digital shops, where would I go?
You would come right here to this show every day, right? Okay, mm-hmm. We are going to talk about the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Is that the dance?
Yeah, that's okay. the singing and the dancing.
Right, okay,
I looked over. You were lost in work over there, Kevin. It's okay. Out today. Party Planet on Switch. The End Is Nigh, Switch. Okami HD, Xbox One, PS4, and PC.
Psyched to play that. I got a code for that.
It keeps coming back.
I know.
It just never stops.
Yes.
Fallout 4, VR,
psyched
and Vive.
To play that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you do Skyrim VR 2 one?
I did. I liked it.
Yeah.
Doom actually was the first VR game that made me want to barf, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's too fast.
I can't. I took it off. I went, oh my God. I hold my
just need a minute.
Yeah.
I would love to ask some questions. Hold on. Arrow comes to PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Dragon's Lair Trilogy on PS4. Dynasty Feud on PlayStation 4.
So best of the year, basically.
Here we are. Yeah. The heavy hitters are coming off the bench now.
Yes.
Fallen Legion, Flames of Rebellion on PS4.
Right.
Fallen A2P. Protocol on PlayStation 4.
So two Fallen games, everybody.
If you can fucking believe it, Gang Beasts on PlayStation
Finally.
4.
Wow.
A game 13 years in the making. Greg Rice and Tim Schafer just bouncing tennis balls off the wall. Nine Parchments on PlayStation 4. One More Dungeon on PS4 Vita. Oh, PS4 and Vita. The Rabbit Hole.
You got a Vita
game. They're there all the time. Don't worry about it.
All right.
They're there. The Rabbit Hole on PlayStation VR.
Yes.
Ultimate Chicken Horse on PlayStation 4.
Ultimate Chicken Horse. Woo!
That's a fun one. That is a fun multiplayer one.
I don't need to Google this.
I don't even know.
Yo, really? You haven't played it either?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's a great. You should do that as a What's Good Let's Play. That's
okay.
a really fun one. Do that with the girls.
Cool, okay.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds officially is on Xbox One right now.
I'm psyched to play that when I get back.
Me too. Yeah. I haven't tried. Obviously, I just, if you don't understand, I just landed. Today came right into work,
and there's no Xbox One hybrid console as we established.
Did you bring marshmallows?
No,
on the show.
No. Did you bring?
I don't have any cheese, so I just brought you
a plate of marshmallows.
You brought a bowl of jumbo marshmallows.
Ladies and gentlemen, who are listening to the show, I want to describe to you just how large these marshmallows are.
Everything small here.
Can you do the news and stuff your face with marshmallows?
Chubby bunny or whatever.
Chubby bunny with these bad boys? I don't know. So these are, imagine the size of a golf ball. It could fit inside this marshmallow. That's how big these marshmallows are. They are very large.
Quack Attack V2 wrote in. Don't do it, Andrea.
I can't.
Quack Attack V2.
Quack Attack's a game, right?
And it's what the Mighty Ducks did, I believe,
right?
When they were getting ready to go out there and do their thing. And he or she says, with the release of PUBG today, do you think it's a little ridiculous that there are no freaking achievements? I mean, what am I supposed to be working towards if there's no goals for me to obtain? I know I get clothing items, but that's it. If I get 100 kills in the game preview and they release an actual game with an achievement for that, do I get it all over again? Why do you think there are no achievements in this game right now? Is it because it's a preview?
Yeah.
Doesn't Fortnite have them? What are your thoughts? Thank you for your time, best friends. Quack Attack V2.
That's not cool.
Yes, Fortnite does have achievements.
And it's in the beta, right?
But not Battle Royale doesn't, right? It's just Fortnite
Correct.
Vanilla
oh,
that
okay.
has achievements.
But that's not in the beta. Fortnite is... Oh, it is in the beta still.
Yeah, Fortnite's in early access still.
Yeah, yeah, that this doesn't make sense.
This is totally a game's preview thing, and I don't understand why Fortnite would. It surprised me when I looked at Fortnite.
Oh, you know why Fortnite has them? Because they've been making that game for 7 years.
Oh, true that. Okay. Yeah,
so but then, like, what about Paragon? Paragon doesn't have achievements or trophies, right?
It does not.
Feel like that one. Yeah, you've been playing that one for 7 years.
As somebody who's put 500 hours into Paragon, where are my trophies? Actually, I don't care about trophies. You guys know that.
Get off this fucking show. No, Quackzack, it's because, it's game preview, and no, you will not get those trophies or achievements when they finally
start over.
There. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it's all about the fun of playing the game, guys.
That's right.
It's true.
No. And maybe if you play long enough, you'll unlock Darth Vader.
Or if you pay enough.
Yes.
No, I'm excited to jump in there. But of course, I wish it was on PlayStation. I wish I was getting trophies.
Next year.
Yeah, I know. Of course, next year. Yeah. I don't.
Next year.
Unless suddenly that.
On the PlayStation 4 hybrid.
Yeah, it's not going to get a hybrid. Chambara comes to PC. Papers, Please comes to PlayStation Vita as well.
Whoa.
And here's another one for you. Papers, Please. No platinum trophy. However, the developer, I got looped into the thread with him. It's not because they want to give it to him. And it's not because he asked for it and they said no. It's because he didn't want to do it and he wanted to keep the achievements he already had. And so I guess the achievements he already had, the point value didn't equate out to a platinum. And so he's like, no platinum, which is dumb. And he should have just made more trophies and I would have helped him. But whatever. Papers, Please has limped down to Vita.
Now you won't even play it. Just because
I'll definitely play it. God, it's so weird switching back to the Vita though. After the Switch, you have this thing and you go like this. Jeez, Luis.
I have mine at my door plugged in, ready to go, but I don't take it.
I was afraid you're going to make a doorstop reference.
No.
Kevin has put this up here just as a reminder.
I know. Well, Vic's got to go at, we got 10 more minutes of Victor Lucas. Okay. That's all that's about. We're aware of it. But then we got all day long
to
keep this show going.
Star Wars. I gotta rush. Oh, what?
Lots of things to do today?
I know.
What a day.
We couldn't go.
Best Tuesday ever.
Yeah. We're rubbing our face some more because we got work to do. You know
don't forget,
we can't all be on vacation.
You know what, though? When I watch Star Wars, I want to eat popcorn and have my soda and my candy. You can't do that at Lucasfilm.
No, this is all.
They're a purest movie watching experience. Yep. No food or beverage allowed.
That's I respect it, though. They're there for the art.
No,
they stay through the credits. They clap when they see each other.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And then finally, GTA Online Doomsday Heist is out officially as well. New dates for you. Ni No Kuni 2 has been delayed to March 23rd, 2018.
Forward to that game.
Yeah, you're gonna make time for it in March.
Totally. Yeah.
I don't know.
What else is happening in March?
Well, I mean, rumor has it you think God of War.
I mean, there's a lot of games supposed to be coming in March, right?
God of War for sure. Not for sure. Not for sure.
Yeah.
But probably.
Sure. Maybe.
But who knows?
You know, don't even get my hopes up. All right, Spider-Man's definitely not coming to March.
With the Greg Miller skin.
Yeah. Wait,
is that happening?
Everybody keep tweeting Insomniac Games. Get shirtless Spider-Man in there. Or just fat Spider-Man. It's evolved, I think. You know what I mean? Because it was originally just fat Spider-Man in a shirt. And then it became shirtless Spider-Man. And will it one day be pantsless Spider-Man? We'll see. And then, Go Ro Goa. It's coming to Nintendo Switch on December 14th for $14.99 and iOS, Steam, and GOG. This is the one from Annapurna, right? You put this on there, Andrea?
Yes.
And I believe I played it at Judges Week. It's actually a cool puzzle game. Life is Strange is coming to iOS. Is this the first Life is Strange?
Yes.
Mm. Life is Strange is coming to iOS December 14th.
The full season,
That's pretty cool.
And then guess what? Andrea was nice enough to tell me that Overkill's The Walking Dead is still a thing and is coming out in fall 2018 now, apparently, kind of.
We watched a new trailer today featuring a character named Aiden. Another really lovely CG trailer.
Is Walking Dead still going to be a thing in 2018?
So we were talking about this and how when this game was first announced was like, I think at the height of Walking Dead fervor, right? People really excited about the show on AMC back then. We had Telltale working on Walking Dead. Now I think people are getting salty about what's happening on the TV
show. The show's soured the conversation.
Obviously, comic book fans are going to remain fans of the comic books.
Yeah.
But like people who are fans of Walking Dead through these ancillary forms of media, I think are not really going to care by the time this game comes out.
It's the thing that we got super saturated really quickly. Where it hit and it was everywhere. And there's Fear the Walking Dead and regular Walking Dead. There was multiple Walking Dead video games. And I think for me, it was that when last season of The Walking Dead came out and I played through it and talked about it, it was just like nobody had the nobody wanted to talk about Walking Dead. Season three, is that what it would have been? Yeah, season three.
You're talking about the New Frontier?
Yeah, New Frontier. Yeah. What season was that? Three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to talk about New Frontier the way they wanted to talk about number one or number two. Even number two, I had great conversations with about how did you do this? What did you do?
I think it was season seven, man. I think that was a tough season of the show. It was too brutal, and characters that we really cared about were brutalized and gone. And it was too much.
Well, I mean, and before that really terrible cliffhanger at the end of the season, which was just like
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
was like a it was like a slap in the face to people watching. It's like you just don't do that, you know? And so and now this terrible nightmare mess of a mid-season finale.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, don't waste your time. Just read like the recap and bam, you did it. It was like literally like 85 minutes of tight shots of people's anguished faces and then like 5 minutes of like actual plot at the end.
Brutal. It did what it's supposed to do though, right? Where I'm with you. I didn't watch it, but I read a recap last night on Reddit.
Yeah.
And it was that thing of like, oh, when it comes back from this break, I'm going to watch that episode right away.
Yeah.
I'm interested in where they're going to be off.
Yeah, I do want to see it. But Sons of Anarchy kind of did that too.
Oh, Sons of Anarchy.
It just went so dark.
God,
and
that
dumb.
Show was so good. And then just went it was right just into
like,
the ground.
Yeah, like people were getting pissed on and then burned alive. And it's like, okay, that's enough. You know, I don't need that for my entertainment.
Funny aside to you is that in the old days, watching Sons of Anarchy, I'd watched a bunch of it and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
And I tried to get Christine Steimer, What's Good Games, to watch it with me.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, you understand. These guys are like the A team.
Yeah.
Like, all this, nothing bad ever happens to them. And it was the episode, spoilers for season one of Sons of Anarchy, where like that the old FBI guy breaks into her apartment and tries to attack her. And then Jax kills him. And then they have sex next to the dead body. And I was like, I swear the show's never been like this before.
And then it just got worse than that. It got darker and darker.
Kind of Funny Games Daily, everybody. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Back to your video game stuff. Yeah. We're going to jump into reader mail.
Just like CNN.
But first, I need to tell you it's brought to you by Lisa Mattresses and Omaha Steaks. I said it a lot lately. I'm going to keep saying it. I went to the mattress store with my wife, Genevieve St. Ange, love of my life.
Okay.
And I did not like going to the mattress store. It's gross. They make you put on little pillow condoms, and then you got to lay in the bed, and this guy walks around and talks to you. Is it like this in Canada? Do people walk around and talk to you when you
try to? No, but we're getting into like condoms and all kinds of stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Oh, yeah. No, right. You don't do it, though. Instead, buy your mattress online at Lisa.com. Lisa mattresses are 100% American-made and delivered in a compressed box to your door. They are thoughtfully crafted with high-quality materials to create what Lisa calls their universal adaptive feel. Its three foam layers provide support, pressure relief, and cooling that adapts to all body shapes, sizes, and sleeping styles. Joey Noel has one of these. She's going to miss it. Or she's been missing it, I should say, because she's been on the road with us this whole time. Mm-hmm. But she's excited to get home. If you have a kid and they need, remember, it's the gift of the mattress is for your significant other. The gift of watching the mattress decompress out of this box and inflate is for the kid. And then the box you give to the cat. This is a Christmas gift for everybody.
The whole household.
You get a 100-night trial, and if you don't like it, they come back for it and refund you the money. Mattresses cost thousands in stores, but Lisa mattresses start at just $525. But you can get $100 off by going to lisa.com/kindoffunny and entering the promo code kindoffunny, all one word. Again, it's Lisa, LEESA.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny. Then our second sponsor is Omaha Steaks. And again, man, have you guys been killing it with this sponsorship? So many people tweeting me photos.
It's an impossible deal to resist.
I can't believe it costs that much.
For $49.99, you get the family gift pack if you go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code KFGames.
That is a lot of meat.
You get two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, and get four additional kielbasas for free. Kevin, last time I made this was at Extra Life. You enjoyed the food, right?
Wow.
Vic, you ever had a burger on a everything bagel?
No.
I did it at Extra Life with my Omaha steaks. You should do it too.
Okay.
Go to omahasteaks.com. Yeah, at the end. And enter the code KFGames, all one word, in the search bar. Get 75% off right there. Wow. People have told me it doesn't work on mobile, but if you go to the website, you're fine. I'm aware of that, Kevin. Kevin keeps reminding me the Gamescast is scheduled for one. We're clearly not going to hit it right at one. We've got to eat food, too.
I'm all aware. I'm just keeping...
What's happening at four? Doesn't it make sense that we're going to go like two to... Gamescast isn't even as long today.
Producing
so
behind the scenes, live on the air.
Like I said, closer we get to Christmas, the more off the rails it goes. Let's get into your questions. Barius writes in and says, Greggy, I'm concerned. As you know, Anthem wasn't shown on the Game Awards for most anticipated game. Is it the backlash for EA Star Wars Battlefront 2?
Yes.
Has it ruined its chances? And I'm also concerned, how are they going to make the game? I hope they don't make the same mistakes that they did with Star Wars. Thanks. Keep up the good work. P.S. Greg Rand. If you say the fact that I... Oh, no. Okay. Fuck you, dude. He's saying, if you say the fact that, in quotes, on my question, I'm going to be mad. Love you. Andrea, You can read that question right there and see how terrible the grammar is and how I made that into a salvageable actually thing you can read. So Barry, so you right off.
There's a lot of spelling errors here. He made Star Wars a single word.
Not a fan of that.
I'll tell you why it wasn't there. Because it just didn't get voted in because they didn't have any new assets in the last 3 months of the year. So when the Game Awards ballot nomination happens, you guys were judges this year too, right?
No, not this year.
Not this year?
Yeah.
So what happens is everybody has to submit names. I submitted Anthem to be, What's Good Game submitted Anthem to be most anticipated. And if you look at what got nominated, they all had recent demos, recent trailers, recent announcements. So if it's at the top of the mind, that's what you're thinking of. We also don't know if Anthem is coming in 2018.
I doubt it.
You know, like I would maybe venture most anticipated 2019 mm-hmm. for Anthem mm-hmm. would be
that
my
makes
guess.
Sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, don't get too upset. It has its time.
They got a Battlefront to fix, I think, right now.
I think that BioWare is in this amazing bubble, and thankfully they are, where people sometimes forget that EA publishes BioWare, and so they don't necessarily get the hate that a lot of other EA titles get. I mean, obviously, I Andromeda didn't get any love for anything
this
year.
Yeah, exactly.
But
there's going to be a lot of changes at EA. There's going to be a lot of learnings from this year.
Oh, there has to be, for
sure. And next year, it's going to be a whole lot of different messaging.
And I'm really fascinated, to see, as on the heels of Battlefront, as you watch Destiny struggle right now, what is the Anthem team looking at? And be like, oof, how do we avoid that with our microtransactions, with our service that we're trying to provide?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, but I think it's further out, and I think that right now EA does understand probably the best thing they can do is just be quiet about it. Let this shitstorm settle down.
And maybe not make it a microtransaction loot box game.
Maybe
try the Bethesda single player type of experience.
No, this is just crazy talk.
Yeah, I know.
What am I saying? Maybe it'll go back to subscription based. It is now 1 o'clock on the nose, Vic.
Yeah, I got to split you guys.
All right, give me a hug.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Take a marshmallow for the road.
Take a marshmallow.
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Again, they're not going to feed you there. Sneak them in your pockets.
That was awesome.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Have fun.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Tell all the folks we said hi.
Thank you.
Totally will. Don't tweet any spoilers, Vic. We're going to come for you.
Okay. Did you see that Nick put out this GIF? See you.
Bye.
Nick put out this GIF yesterday about Star Wars to promote the Kind of Funny morning show.
He's like, Nick Scarpino?
Yeah. He's like, we're going to do this. And he put this GIF out of a scene. I looked at it and I was like, with Joey and Jen. And I was like, this can't be real. Everybody's freaking out. He included me because I wasn't there. And I'm like, this can't be real, right? I texted Kevin. Kevin's like, oh, no, that's a real thing from the TV spot. I'm like, motherfucker, I don't want to see that either. Fucking Nick, what a dick. Yeah, but I want to be surprised. Since I'm not like, you know, into it like I am the superheroes, right? I'm not watching every trailer.
Oh, so you're one of these mad kids too.
I'm one of these mad kids.
You're all mad
about
it.
A Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I am. And you're not. That's an interesting choice for you. Question number whatever the hell it is. Jonathan writes in, says, hi, Greg and Andrea. Is 2018 going to be one of the worst years for PlayStation exclusives? Now that I've got your attention, let me explain. At PSX, Sony announced the release windows for a lot of their hotly anticipated games. All of Spider-Man, God of War, Detroit, Dreams, Days Gone, Shadow of the Colossus Remake, Ni No Kuni 2, and more that I'm sure I'm forgetting. The last time Sony had this many promising exclusives was 2011, when Little Big Planet 2, Killzone 3, Uncharted 3, Resistance 3, Infamous 2, SOCOM 4, Ratchet & Clank All for One, and MotorStorm Apocalypse came out. No doubt both of these years will be slash were huge for PlayStation, but my worry for 2018 is that smaller titles will get lost in the shuffle. No doubt Spider-Man and God of War are the crown jewels and would be fine no matter when they release, but games like Dreams and Ni No Kuni 2 need a space where they can shine. In 2011, games like Killzone and Resistance underperformed expectations because of how packed the year was. We love you! Subscribe to Electric Playground on YouTube! These games are objectively excellent but couldn't sell. Could this be a problem in 2018? Is there too much of a good thing when it comes to exclusives? Which games do you think will underperform regardless of critical reception? My guess is Dreams and Days Gone get lost due to lack of IP recognition. Curious to hear what you think, Jonathan. Long question, Jonathan. Really good, though. I like the content of it.
Yes, so there's a lot to unpack here. They clearly have been having a great couple of years with their exclusives. I think they're going to do great with their exclusives next year. I mean, the idea of 2018 going to be one of the worst year for PlayStation exclusives when they have God of War.
He's doing a clickbait headline. Don't buy it. Don't buy it.
Right. So, they've got, I think they're are some of these going to get maybe swept under the rug because there's too much happening?
Yeah.
Sure. I think that that's possible. But I think the reason why some of these probably aren't going to perform as well as others is because they're more niche audiences.
Sure.
Think about a game like Ni No Kuni 2 does not appeal to a wide variety of gamers. There's a very specific type of gamers who like to play those types of games, right?
And my big problem with Ni No Kuni 2 is the fact that I feel like the delay really hurts it. It got delayed to March, right? We just talked about that in the show. Yeah. Late March at that. If it was coming out in January, in early February, I feel like it's got a way better chance at succeeding because you're going to have people going, like we always talk about, oh, I heard about Ni No Kuni a lot, number one on PS3, but I never played it. I know people love that, but they didn't play it. Here it is on my PlayStation 4. We've just come into the new year. I'm anxious to play something like people were with Resident Evil, like people were with the zombie game Dying Light. Like those games found success for a number of reasons, but I do think the right release time window is a good part of it too. Whereas, yeah, if God of War is coming out in March, that's a big problem. This is where you get into the fact that, of course, I want to make sure we clarify on this, that like Ni No Kuni isn't a PlayStation published game. That's Namco Bandai Namco worrying about where they're putting it and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I also don't know if all of those titles are actually going to make 2018.
Right.
There's a possibility that, you know, that Detroit or Days Gone might slip. Well, Detroit, this, maybe not, but like Days Gone, list, potentially.
I think it's Dreams and Days Gone would have the most chance of slipping.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock at either of them. I think you just got to juggle the portfolio and get everybody where you need to be. Detroit is spring, you know what I mean? I thought that was funny during the PlayStation Kickoff Showcase stuff when that slipped. And they're like, oh, okay, we're actually saying spring now. Like, that wasn't a purposeful thing, it seemed at the time, to say. Dreams is 2018, but they also said, you know, we're going to put a beta out for it soon. And as they said that, I was like, yes. Remember, I think that beta was supposed to happen either this summer 2017 or 2016. Like, we've heard that there's going to be a beta for Dreams before. All right. And you and I have seen the game. We're going to talk about it on Gamescast this afternoon, me and Andy and Tim. That'll go live, obviously, later. Blah, blah. The game's amazing. The game, I was floored. I can't wait to tell everybody about it. But as complicated as that is, you want to get that right and have those tools work the right way. I could see that going, even though I feel like the fact that they let them resurface and talk about it means that we're almost there. We're almost, let's not do the thing where we
even
talk about
it
too early.
Even in the demo build that we saw, it looked pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Obviously, you know, they prepared this vertical slice of the game specifically for the show, but I mean, there was a lot of menu systems in place. There was a lot of assets already built in. It looks like they've done a lot of work. I hope they're in the home stretch. I really do.
And I think this is just a different lineup of games as well, comparing it to 2011 like you did here, Jonathan, which, by the way, I did not fact check. And I didn't say, if you're watching live, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong to keep us honest, but I'm sure Capitalist Pig knew to do without it.
I would say, so like, if you want a short answer, is there too much of a good thing when it comes to exclusives? No, there isn't.
Yeah.
Especially when you have competition from Xbox and Nintendo. Like, there's never too much of a good thing when it comes to exclusives.
And I think these games, like you're talking about, appeal to different audiences. Where Ni No Kuni and Shadow of the Colossus aren't necessarily going to speak to the same, like the God of War and Spider-Man crowd.
Right.
And the people who are crazy about Detroit, maybe they're not going to be all over Days Gone. We'll see. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and what game you need help in. I read it all here. The best friends come and find you. You play games together and show why this is the best community on the internet. Today, Eddie M needs help on the Xbox One. His Xbox Live username is, stick with me a second, Crazy Zombie. KRAYZIE Zombie. PUBG is officially out for the Xbox, and I need some best friends to squad up with. Help me get my first chicken dinner, guys. Smiley emoticon.
I mean, but inherently, if you're going to get your first chicken dinner, then you've got to kill the best friends.
Well, there's a duo team play thing, though, right? So they could get it together. I don't play a lot of PUBG. I think
the squads are four.
You can have a squad of four. Okay. When I got sick to my stomach playing with that fucking goddamn PC, I hit a stop. You know what I mean? I'm like Superman with the kryptonite. I can be around it for a little bit, but then I got, and I run over and I just rub the Vitas on my face. So everybody hit up Crazy Zombie. KRAYZIE Zombie. All one word.
Is there a GIF of this happening somewhere? Of you rubbing Vitas on your face?
We can make it for you. We can make it. We'll reenact that at some point. Not this week because it's way too crazy and hectic. But later on.
And you have to do it without the Christmas gear so it can be used all year round.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Thinking about the content.
Yeah, okay. I had a new segment here called What's the Fucking Point, but I'm rereading it. I think the time might have passed for it right now. Yeah, no, I got nothing to say about that. Andrea?
Yes.
We ask folks watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to watch and us fuck stuff up and then go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we got wrong. No editorializing, just the facts, ma'am. What did we get wrong today?
Well, today we have some people writing in as I'm scrolling through yesterday's. One moment, please.
I know, I loved it. I knew you were filling time. We have some people writing in.
So Zyger writes in and says, Zags. I met Zyger for the first time at PSX.
A sweet 14-year-old boy, isn't he?
He's baby face for sure. But when I saw him, he had had a couple of lemon drops.
And he loves the lemon drop.
And I said, Zyger, you better go get me one of those. And then we drank lemon drops together. And then I drank lemon drops for the rest of the day. Zyger, this is your fault.
So when Zyger rolled up to me at the Hilton bar on Sunday night and he had the lemon drop in his hand, I didn't say this to him, but now I'm saying to you on air, next time we're having one of these meet and greets at the bar or whatever, and you're ordering these lemon drops, you got to be in a suit, Zyger, and your hair's got to be done. Because he walked up like he owns the place with his lemon drop, but then we were just in kind of funny t-shirts. We got to get you dressed to the nines.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, what did we get wrong, according to Zyger?
He said, a viewer wrote in about the Destiny 2 laser tag gun, saying that people have to, quote, fork over the money using either in-game or real currency. He's incorrect. You cannot buy legendary shards with real currency. Zyger, I said this in the...
God damn it, Zyger. You know what? Now just fuck off.
I just wanted to say hi, Zyger. Okay, here we go. N Money. Oh, this is a really good You're Wrong, actually. I fucked this up. N Money 1020 says, so for items purchased from Tess at Edververse, they don't break down for shards. They break down into Stardust. Huh. The Bright Dust is the name for it, which is only usable at Edververse. I had a brain fart on that. You are correct. So if you get items from Tess, they don't break down into anything but Bright Dust. Okay.
I love Destiny.
Yeah?
I just fucking love that
She's
game.
Got a lot of attitude. If you go...
Oh, Tess. I love Tess. Yeah, Claudia Black. She's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Was that one not what you were saying?
I was saying I love Destiny. Oh, I do love Destiny Tess too. As well.
When are we going to get into the new content together?
Whenever.
All right. I saw Griffin Senpai on last night. Also met him for the first time at
PSX. Yeah, he's a great dude too. He's too good looking and too good at games, but other than that, he's a good dude. Yeah, I talked to Claudia Black for the first time in person since she's been Tess. That doesn't make sense, but since the release of Destiny 2.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I smile every time I hear you talk. And she's like, not a lot of other players do. And I'm like, they'll get over it. It's fine.
The key is to go leave your player next to her. Particularly on the farm where she's got her set up there. Mm-hmm. If you just like let the idle animations happen, the lines that she just spits out
really just gonna stand
are
there.
Really funny. The Brandam says questions concerning the question regarding live games or live game dev teams listening and asking if it's only Blizzard with WoW doing it right. Three solid examples from this year are Digital Extremes with Warframe.
Oh yeah.
Square Enix, or more specifically the team under Nakoya Yoshida with Final Fantasy XIV, and Grinding Gear Games with Path of Exile. Those are three excellent examples. Thank you. I'm sure there are plenty others. It's not just Blizzard. Hugs and kisses. Yes, Ignacio, we know that Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery has nothing to do with the game Niantic is developing.
Ignacio Rojas.
We said that.
If you submit a You're Wrong that we correct ourselves, you can feel free to delete your post.
It's true. Meta Knight King says there is a Fire Emblem game that is supposed to come out in 2018 that is going to drive units. That would probably come out in 2018 instead of Pokemon, which will probably be coming out in 2019. Based off the new Pokemon movie trailer, not showing the new Pokemon Zerora from the Ultra Sun and Moon. I'm gonna be honest and tell you, I think you're wrong about Fire Emblem driving units.
I think it will drive some,
but I think there's just too much Fire Emblem. If you talk about too much Walking Dead, there's a lot of Fire Emblem. You have to have one central.
Here's the push moment. Here's
for
the
marketing.
Moment. Yeah.
Exactly.
And even if it does, I don't think it's gonna move units like we were talking about with these other Mario Kart, Mario, and Zelda.
Did you say something about a game called Quack Attack? Did I miss that?
No. Oh, we had a reader write in with the name Quack Attack. Vic said, "That's a game, isn't it?" And I said, "Oh, it's what the Mighty Ducks do."
Well, according to James Fukuma, there is a game called Quack Attack. In parentheses, kind of. The game Donald Duck Going Quackers released in 2000 for a bunch of platforms and was known as Donald Duck Quack Attack in Europe.
or in
that's
America.
That's a deep cuts.
America.
I love that Lucar Wolf wrote at the top, ignore this, my bad. So I'm
Thank
just
you.
Going to go ahead and ignore it. So that's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you so much for consuming it. Tomorrow, Anthony Gallegos returns to drive the boat with me because Andrew Renee off on vacation. From here
well,
on
not
out.
Yet. Actually, tomorrow, the reason why I can't
What's
be here
game
for Games Daily,
tomorrow?
Even though Wednesday, not traditionally my day,
yeah.
That's Gary's day, I couldn't fill in because we are getting Ashley Birch into the What's Good Games studio live at 11 a.m. Pacific time. We're gonna compete. We're going to go head-to-head against the morning show.
And let me tell you how the competition works.
Because Ashley's a busy lady,
you
just
watch,
like I am. That's
you can
the
watch
time
the morning show.
Had.
You can watch the morning show, all, and it'll be fine. And then the next day, we have Ashley Birch and Deck Nine here. So, mm-hmm. like, what, you think she's going to ask better questions? I think
have
I know a little bit more
Alexa
about...
Have you heard Alexa Ray's
Kingdom
Tempest
Heart stuff?
Theory
yeah.
about what's happening no. in Life is Strange?
Shit, is that on... Well, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's our pleasure to serve you.
Kevin, how dare you?